Conrad Cushman, the legend in the plans. Please listen every day to the showcase. The opinions and knowledge that anyone can take. Showing you how it is done. Proving I am number one. What a legend becomes. This is now my time to show you that I am here. This podcast just to make it loud and clear. By the fans, for the fans, not many who's here can understand. Everything pro wrestling, it can never be you. Listen to the podcast here for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin, the opinion and the lesson. Yes.
Folks, welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. I am your host, Conrad Cushman, and today I am alone. You guys may be wondering, where is Derek? He's usually always here. Derek came into a similar situation that we saw tonight with John Moxley and QT Marshall. He ran into someone who possibly could have been in contact with COVID. He wasn't near the person, but he's just taking extra precautionary measures. So big shout out to Derek for that. Hopefully he pops up in here and joins us in the live chat. But tonight, guys, you guys are going to get an AEW Dynamite review. We are going to talk about the entire show for June 24th, 2020. We're going to run down the entire card, everything that happened, and we're going to be talking about Fyter Fest. I got the card, the lineup for night one, night two. You guys are going to want to be here. Thank you for all the likes, too. So if you're in here, make sure you slap that like button. And if you haven't already, hit subscribe. We've got a pretty cool, gift that pops up across the screen when you subscribe. So make sure that you guys do that for me. I see B-Boy Skyline in the chat right now. Also, my mod, Jesus DeLeon. What's going on, Jesus? Rob's in the house as well. Once you guys trickle on in, come on in, talk. This will also be up on the podcast. So if you guys like to take it on the go, you can listen to it on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, wherever you like to listen to your podcast at. Go on ahead. You guys can download that or listen to it, stream it, however you guys want. We're on all podcasting platforms that most can think of. This show tonight is also sponsored by my good friends, Everything College Basketball. Make sure you guys check out Josh Burton. He's got a tremendous Facebook group, and he talks about college basketball every week. Right now they're doing retro review of the games, but soon, really soon, he hopes to be talking about the next season in college basketball, and I cannot wait for that. Also, make sure you guys go to powerslam.tv. Check out your local independent wrestlers. This week, I did an excellent interview with Amber Rodriguez. So go to powerslam.tv, put in the promo code EPWSHOW. Maybe if you want to look up some of Amber Rodriguez's matches, you can put that code in and check her out, man. Amazing talent, great interview. Check that out in the archives if you haven't already. And last but not least, you know what time it is. We got to talk about Manscaped. Manscaped is sponsoring the podcast. One of the greatest sponsors, I must say. We are here to talk about the Lawnmower 3.0. This thing does the work. Designed for growing grooming. Guys, ladies, whoever wants to use this, this thing gets the job done. You don't have to worry about any performance failures with this. The Lawnmower 3.0 is tremendous, great tool. Anybody can use this bad boy, and it works great. Got a little light on it. If you guys wanted to use this in the dark, why, I don't know. But you may want to. Lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof as well, and skin-safe technology. You don't want any nicks or cuts when you're cutting down there. So Lawnmower 3.0, type in the promo code EPWSHOW, get 20% off. And you guys will be very happy with that. They also have some side things that I always recommend. I recommend people getting the crop preserver, the ball deodorant. Works great, especially on special occasions, you know, maybe date night. You may also want to use this if you're getting ready to go to a wedding. It's wedding season. You know how it is. Maybe 4th of July, you're going to a cookout. Want the boys to smell fresh? Check it out, man. Use the ball deodorant. And we also have the ball toner, the crop reviver. Give this bad boy a little spritz. And you're good to go. With that being said, though, enough of the shills, enough of the commercials. Let's get into AEW Dynamite. That's what you guys are all here for. Derek's in the house. What's good, D? Gave you a big shout out before. Connor, what is happening, brother? My man Nelson's in the house talking about Evil Lord Derek, Brother Bobby, Choke Out Jesus, and oh God, not again, Conrad. I'm always here, brother. Broken is in the house as well. He said, I see my disciples. What's happening, Broken? Excellent. The light is for precision cutting. I appreciate that, Rob. Hopefully you don't know from experience, because I don't want anyone trying to do this with the lights out. But AEW Dynamite, man, we had a great show on our hands tonight. We started off the show with a little opening pyro. Felt good to see that once again. And I know a lot of people are wondering, are you going to talk about any of the stuff that's been going out with the hashtag speaking out? I've said my piece already. I put up something on Instagram and I put something up on Twitter. So if you guys want to get my thoughts on it, definitely check that out. I put up kind of like a post, took a screenshot of it, and then put the image up so that way people could read it, because I didn't have enough characters to write what I wanted to. But yeah, I left my thoughts on all of that. So trying to get back into the mode of wrestling here. Let's talk about this Lumberjack match that opened up the card. Tonight we had a match that a lot of AEW fans were clamoring for. We had a matchup between Wardlow with MJF in his corner and Luchasaurus with Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt in his corner. Now, this was a Lumberjack match, but we've been wanting to see the two big guys collide. It feels like for months they've been teasing this matchup, and I, for one, can say that I'm happy that we got it. Now, they set this up for a Lumberjack match, and there were some awkward spots in here and everything else. You're going to get that from time to time. Like, there were times where, you know, the baby faces aren't going to attack the other baby face, and the heels are going to want to attack the heels. Personally, I like old school Lumberjack matches where, you know what, it doesn't matter what side you come out on, you're getting beat down and thrown back in the ring because everybody wants to fight. I like those a little bit better than the, oh, let's not touch him because we're good guys and he's a good guy. No, no, no. Beat him down, throw him back in the ring. I think that really would help and add to the match a little bit more. But that's just me. For what I prefer for those types of matches. Dude, absolutely great. Both guys show true athleticism in here. We saw moonsaults from Luchasaurus, Hurricanranas from Wardlow. Whatever people wanted to just put out there, they did it, man. I was impressed by both guys. There's a lot of people tonight that I'm just going to say I'm impressed by. So if you hear that constantly, it's a good thing for this show. Lots of impressive things happened. Now, during all of this brawling and fighting, Jungle Boy eventually got caught by Wardlow, and Wardlow tossed this man onto all the other Lumberjacks. I thought it looked pretty cool. Same thing, Marco Stunt then comes over, does a front flip on everybody. Marco was great in here. He played his part perfectly, and he fits in, and that's not the last we see of him in this match. Now, the weird thing I was talking about in this is, so they go to the outside, and they're on the rampway fighting, suplexing each other, and brawling, and the referee knocks. He's not counting anybody out, and I was just like, I'm surprised there's no count out. He's not even yelling, like, get in the ring. He was kind of letting them have leeway, and the announce team brought it up of JR, Excalibur, and Tony Schiavone. Jim Ross drew attention to it, and I was just like, yeah, I'm surprised he's not counting out, being a little bit more forceful. Just odd. So I hope that's something that they want to tighten up with this one. Ace, what's happening, brother? Good to have you in here. Shout out to you, man. Yeah, just odd, like I said, as far as what was happening with that. So, during all of this, Knox isn't doing any countouts. There becomes a spot where Marco jumps on Wardlow's back again. Wardlow threw this man in the air like he was a child. Like, he went flying. This is something that you would expect to happen with the intern. Like, he threw him up, and I think he went even higher in the air. And Marco, it just looked great. It looked like Wardlow was a beast out of a superhero movie. Like, he looked like the Juggernaut. Like, I don't care, I'm just tossing you. And Marco flew. So, great visual there for that one. Afterwards, Luchasaurus comes down, and Luchasaurus hits a shooting star press. He looked like, for a second there, he got a little bit nervous, but he gathered himself, and he just nailed it. It was perfect. Big dudes like that should not be doing shooting star presses. So, Luchasaurus, my hat off to you, brother, if I was wearing one. I thought that was really good how they set that up. They get back into the ring, though, and Luchasaurus hits his tail whip, but MJF distracts the referee after he goes for the pinfall. That allows Wardlow enough time to hit a low blow, and then he hits the F10 during the spot where Jungle Boy spears MJF out of the ring. F10, 1, 2, 3, Wardlow picks up the victory here for the big guys. Not mad at it at all, though. Wardlow gets the win. But afterwards, there is a brawl between all of the Lumberjacks and everyone. But it was really Jungle Express, MJF, and Wardlow fighting with each other. And Tony Khan just gets on the headset, apparently, and tells the announcers that next week it's going to be MJF and Wardlow versus Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. Like, he just put that match right out there and said, it's happening. I'm down. I'm digging it for Fyter Fest. We've got a two-night extravaganza, and there's going to be a lot of talk about that in this review. So make sure you check it out. Let's see what people are saying here. Rob said, love everything about this match except the Luchasaurus crowd die spot. One of these days, someone is going to go splat on the floor when they decide to stop catching them. Always got to protect your people that are in the ring with you. So I definitely hope that we don't have a situation like that happen. Let us see here. B-Boy Skyline says, Sunny Kiss to MK11 confirmed. Don't we wish, brother. Don't we wish. Let me see. What else do we have going on here? Derek Order lives on. Jungle Boy speared the hell out of MJF. He did. He did. And big match. I agree with that as well, Ace. They really did a good job with this. Fyter Fest versus the Great America Bash. I don't even know. They're not even doing that show anymore, Broken. So MJF and Wardlow, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus. I think this is going to be a money tag match. More on that to come. Now we get a segment called Technique with Taz or by Taz with Brian Cage. And he basically goes over some of Brian Cage's moveset. The main focus that I like was the Steiner screwdriver. I can't remember what Cage calls it, but it is it's like a suplex into a driver where he's holding you up, but then he just drops you right onto your head in like a pile driver position. It looks deadly. Haven't seen anybody use it really since Scott Steiner. Cage, though, perfect person to use that finish. And then they go through the card for the rest of the night. We see Britt Baker. She's kind of in a cart now, and she's got plexiglass surrounding her. So she's got all this stuff in there. She's got her little drink, sipping on her drink. Britt Baker just being a jerk, sending messages up to Tony Schiavone still. Whatever. This ends up leading to our next match, though, where we have the AEW Women's Champion, Hikaru Shida, getting ready to take on Red Velvet. This match was quick. If you blinked, you missed it. With this one, it was just, I think she hit a move, and then it was the Falcon Arrow, 1, 2, 3. Now, prior to the match, she had gotten in the face of her number one contender, Penelope Ford, and Kip Sabian, and right after she gets the win, she rolls right back out, gets at Penelope Ford's face, and decks her right with a right hand. Kip Sabian gets in the way, he catches a right hand, basically broke the man's glasses. And there is a brawl, and I like this. This felt real. It looked like Shida just wanted to take it to Penelope Ford, like, yo, let's fight. And it worked. I like it. It showed Shida's got some ferociousness to her. She's not going to back down from a challenge. Love it. Love what they did here with this. Simple and to the point. I don't know if anybody else saw this, but I think Ricky Starks got punched in the middle of this. If not, he was selling, because this dude was definitely holding his face like, yo, did somebody just knock one of my teeth out in this brawl? The girls were going at it. So kudos to them. If that was real or not, good selling by Ricky Starks. And I have to give a shout out to Rob, because he noticed someone who was in the crowd, and I thought I saw him too, but I wasn't sure. But then when Rob sent me a message and confirmed it, NXT's Caesar Bononi was in the crowd tonight, and it was really good to see him. I always thought that he was someone who was very underutilized in NXT. There was just a lot of people who would pop up from like the Cruiserweight Classic and wrestle. A lot of guys who were just underutilized, and I think that they were really good. So head off. So maybe he's going to get a chance to get some action here on AEW. We'll have to wait and see with that one. We get out to the TNT title press conference that they had, and Cody's got the room filled up on his side. He's got the Nightmare family there. And shout out to the guy who had to hold the TNT championship in all of this. The freaking way he held up the title, absolutely like draining on his arms. It had to be for this entire segment. So kudos to him, whoever was holding that belt up. The Nightmare family's out there. Arn Anderson establishes that he is still one of the best talkers in the business today. This dude crushed it. He came out there, talked about Cody and the veins in his neck when he talked about he had to wait for Jake Hager and it wasn't the time because he had to focus on Ricky Starks. Put over everybody. So, Arn, you the man. They did a really good job here. Cody talking about the American dream and the American nightmare. Here's a weird thing. If you guys have ever noticed, the heels come out on one side of the ramp and the baby faces come out on the other. But has anyone ever noticed that Cody always comes out of the middle? Very, very telling. And there were a lot of shades of gray in this. He said he is the American Nightmare, but he believes in the American Dream. And they were asking him like if he was upset if Hager wasn't there. Hager didn't bring anybody, no Inner Circle. He comes out with his wife, and he accepts the match and basically does like this quick photo op. It made him seem super garbage, like, you know what? I don't really need to be here. Let's do the pose or whatever, and then we'll just let it go. They get in each other's faces, and then, you know, the walk away, but you know something's got to happen. Hager grabs a glass of water, wasting good glasses of water, and he throws the water in Cody's face, and his wife does the same thing. Excuse me, his wife threw the glass of water in Cody's face after him, after he said, you know what, it's all right. Hager and his wife do all of this dastardly acts, and Cody didn't respond, which I'm okay with. They're setting up for a big match, and I'm kind of looking forward to this. I know a lot of people are like, I'm not feeling Jake Hager. I've always thought Jake Hager is an incredible talent, someone that you want to have on your roster. Is he world champion material? That's up for debate, maybe. You could argue that. But I really think that a lot of people who give the man grief, I think that Jake Hager is one of the better performers that you could have. And I've always enjoyed his work. So I am not feeling that when people say that. And I'm seeing a back and forth going on here. Let's see. Rockstar says NXT Great American Bash is next week. Yeah, I'm going to have to wait and see on that. I haven't seen NXT yet, Broken, so no spoilers, please. Let's see. Jesus says he loves, I think, Britt Baker, that's supposed to be, and Red Velvet. Let's see here. Rob said that's what happens when you stockpile talent. People are talking about the lady who introduced the press conference. Jake Hager is a machine, Ace says. I respect that. Cody calls his belt Ruth. Aldis calls his belt Sweet Charlotte. I need another match between them to see whose girl is the baddest. You know, they could do a work together one day. NWA, AEW. I wouldn't mind it. Cody versus Aldis, both belts on the line. You guys are getting some NWA promotion in here. I like it. Let's see here. Jake was making sure Cody was not thirsty. Terrible, Jordan. But possibly right. Rob says the ending ruined this segment and Brandy ain't no ride or die. Brandy did try to come over there, but they grabbed her. He said, no, it's fine. Cody kept telling everybody it's fine. So he obviously was trying not to lose his cool. Maybe this is something him and Arn have planned. We'll have to see. Have to see what happens with that. Now, as far as after this, we go into this video segment, and me and Jesus De Leon in the chat, we're talking about this earlier today. It was the video segment from Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. Now, if you guys only saw the version on AEW Dynamite, I implore you to go onto Twitter and find the full version of this driving around in the car gas station promo. I thought it was absolute money. It just made them look like badasses against everyday people. I thought it was really funny. And I'll give you guys one of the jokes that were in there. When Joey Janela is in the gas station getting food, he asks if there's any Nutella. If you don't know the stories between him and Jim Cornette, I thought that was a nice little dig that he threw at him. He's actually had a couple of nice digs at Cornette this week. But Joey Janela delivered, and it really made you feel for this tag team. Like, at first, when I first saw them together, I was like, okay, they're both from New Jersey. I kind of get the connection. But it began to work, though. Slowly but surely, it began to work for me. And I thought, you know what? They're a pretty good team. They're a pretty good team. I really couldn't hate on it. I thought they were great. And their tag team match was up next. And if you guys remember, they've been teasing this with another storyline. So the formation of Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss as a team began. Then we also have, on the other side, Mr. Brody Lee and the Dark Order trying to recruit Colt Cabana. We remember he brought out the contract from the previous review. Is Colt going to accept? Colt Cabana has not accepted anything as of yet, but he is teaming with Brody Lee. Interesting. Silver and Reynolds interfere in the match, and Colt really doesn't see it happening throughout the entire match, but eventually things started to change. So what I took from this match was there was some good storytelling with how bad does Colt Cabana want to win matches, and does he want to do it at the expense of Brody Lee? But also, Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss, they are a tremendous tag team. I really liked a lot of the double team maneuvers they pulled off. At one point, we saw like a heart attack, and they just kept transitioning into double team moves. Looked good. Brody Lee eventually broke it up. He actually took Janela's head off and then interfered. And it was weird. Brody Lee's job was to continue saving Colt Cabana in this match, showing, hey, I got your back. I got your back. And eventually it led to Kiss and Janela brawling, going up to the top rope. We saw stereo moonsaults to the floor. Well done by both. Like I said, Sonny Kiss really stood out in this match because Sonny Kiss hasn't had his chance on Dynamite too often. And I've kept wondering, I'm like, where is Sonny Kiss? It's almost been a year. I think the last time we saw him have a match that was like televised, that wasn't on Dark, it was maybe Peter Avalon? Maybe? I can't remember. I think he did have a tag team match with Dustin. Someone in the chat can call me out if I'm wrong about that. But Sonny Kiss did his thing in this match, and I thought he did a great job. Joey Janela, too. Joey Janela really seems like someone who's trying to find himself because I think he believes he's a main event player, and he has the caliber to be that. I think he's just trying to figure out, how do I get there? It's going to take some time. Whatever. I'm okay with Joey being in the spot. I just want to see him in action. So we get to the stereo moonsaults happen, and it leads to a dive. Joey Janela goes for a dive on the floor. Brody Lee pushes Colt Cabana out of the way. Crash and burn for Joey Janela. Looks like he hit his head on the gate, possibly. The barricade around the ringside. He gets thrown into the ring. Discus clothesline, and Mr. Brody Lee offers the pen to Colt Cabana. 1, 2, 3. Colt Cabana and Mr. Brody Lee get the W here. Not mad at it at all. I thought it was really good. What's happening, Sick? I see you just joined us as well. So Colt gets the pinfall. He seems happy that he won. They talk about them getting the winner's purse. I love that. Make the wins matter. Why would somebody want to win a match? Because they want to win the purse. Why would people want to get DQ'd? That's dumb. That's dumb in pro wrestling. I get it if you're trying to get an out, maybe save your championship. Cool. But for this, no. You did the right thing. Now, after the match, Lance Archer just comes from out of nowhere and just starts, like, walloping on Sonny Kiss. Joey Janela grabs a steel chair, throws it at Lance Archer's head. Archer shrugs it off and then just proceeds to beat the heck out of Joey Janela. Jake the Snake Roberts then interferes and says, hey. Jake Roberts says, there's no point in this. You already took him out. Don't waste your time. Whoa. Really good here. Good to see that they still have Lance Archer dominating throughout everything else that's been happening. Couldn't say anything bad about it. Lance Archer is back, and I wonder what his role is going to be going forward. He only has one loss, so it's not like the guy's been crushed. But Archer is back, and he looks like he wants problems with people. Let's see here what you guys were saying about this. Jesus said, imagine not showing the full version. Jesus, I think that was for television time, though. You really did not have enough time tonight to show that whole version of the video because you just don't have the time for it. Like, they were really building up this next show like it's a pay-per-view. So I can't be mad at that. Let's see here. Rob says, Joey Janela is exactly the type of guy that to buy gas station Lunchables. Nothing wrong with that. I think he had the ham and cheese special, too. Big fan of the pizza ones, too, man. Can't complain. Can't complain about those. Jesus says, I think it should work, this tag team, for sure. Rob says, hashtag fish tacos and fruit punch. Oh, man, you are a fool, Rob. And I see everybody throwing up the Derek Order stuff here again. Colt better join the Dark Order. I don't know. I don't know if Colt's going to do it. Consequences dose. Terrible. Terrible. Let's see here. Rob said this was his first match on Dynamite, I believe. Maybe. Maybe the Peter Avalon match was one of those special shows that I'm thinking about. I know he came out with the Jacksonville Jaguars cheerleaders. I remember a match with him and Peter Avalon, but maybe that was one of those specials like Fighter Fest or one of the other ones that they did last year. And Jesus said he's glad Archer showed up. Rob says Archer equals Pat Stay. Google it if you don't know who we're talking about. Love it, guys. So afterwards, they kind of go through like little brief segments and they start talking about what's been going on with Sean Spears. We finally saw the glove come into play. Sean Spears put the glove on and he stuck something metal inside of the glove, loaded it up, and knocked out my man Pineapple Pete. Shug D, come on now. We can't be having that. But he knocks him out with the power of the punch, as Regal would say. And we'll see how the glove works for him. I don't know. The best glove thing I've ever seen is the Infinity Gauntlet. I don't know if it's going to be able to top that or if we're going to see the Gauntlet from Lucha Underground. That was great as well. I don't know. I don't know if Spears will be able to top it. But I have a kind of weird thought, too, that we saw once again tonight. And I don't know if these references are just subtle or if they're supposed to mean something bigger. And I'm sure we'll get into it into the next match here, which is, oh, let me see here. I hope Kenny Omega gets to use his Akuma gear. Maybe he'll get to use it again. I hope they come out with special attires like last year. That would be really cool. PR Nightmare throwing up the hand as well with the stop sign symbol on it. I don't know what that means for you guys, but I respect it, Nelson. So next up, we have SCU, Kazarian, and Daniels getting ready to take on FTR. You insert whatever you want in there for those letters. And first, I have to bring up the fact that it was announced on AEW Dark, for those of you who haven't watched it yet, Scorpio Sky is going to be a singles competitor now for SCU. So it looks like he's branching away from the team. So he's still part of SCU, but Scorpio Sky is going to be the singles guy for them. I think this goes back to that match he had with Jericho, and a lot of people see lots of talent with him. He had that match with, was it him and Moxley? He's had some singles matches, listen, and he's shown up. Same thing with Kaz even, but I think the singles guy for SCU is Scorpio Sky. He's the one who I think could become world champion eventually. This is a good move for him. Now, Daniels and Kazarian as a tag team, absolutely have enjoyed them since they were in TNA as The Addiction. Always a fun tag team, but picking up Scorpio Sky was one of the best moves that they made. So what are they going to be able to do against FTR tonight? I'm going to say it. This, in my opinion, was a match of the night. I really enjoyed this tag team match. This was classic tag team wrestling at its finest. I think adding FTR to this division, which I already thought was the best division, blows this division out of the water. You can argue me. You can debate me. That's fine. you show me a tag division better than this one, because I think I can always make the argument for this one. And there's a lot of great tag teams in other companies. Like I said, I'll bring up the North. Great tag team. Josh Alexander and Ethan Page. Love them. We can talk about the Usos, the New Day. We can go through every company. But the division as a whole doesn't get any better than AEW. Not joking. All seriousness, I think they got the best tag team division. So during a lot of this, I believe it was on a double suplex spot. FTR threw up the four fingers. I believe it was a brainbuster move. So here's the weird thing. Was the four fingers for Arn and Tully? Or is this a sign of things to come? Because Cody mentioned the Horsemen. Goes back to what I was talking about earlier too with the gray area. Heels come out on one side, baby faces come out on the other side of the tunnel, but Cody always comes from the middle. Are we going to see a potential horseman group in AEW? I'd love to hear what the chat thinks about that, because right now, if things are going in order, could it be Cody, Spears, and FTR as a group eventually? Cody teased last week, hey, I don't know if I'm a part of the Elite anymore. He hasn't really talked about the Nightmare Family, but then he brought them out tonight, which was kind of weird. But stick with the story. Could there be a Four Horsemen in AEW? And I'm not saying that they would be called the Four Horsemen, but a group like the Four Horsemen. Keep it in mind. Let's see here. Six said Michael Jackson had the best glove of all time. You're probably right. I'll put that in there as well. Let's see. Six said FTR equals F those rejects. Nah, just kidding. I love FTR. They are awesome. Jesus said FTR's theme is growing on me. I think Ruckus added some new stuff to it, Jesus. Ruckus puts up some pretty dope things. If you're not following him, he does all the AEW music. I know that TZ and some other people get contracted out to do it, but Ruckus is putting it all together, and I think he added some new stuff to it. I know some people's themes are not finished when we hear them, so I appreciate it. Is FTR officially signed with AEW yet? I don't think so, Jesus. I haven't heard different. Broken said, F the rest. I respect that. FTR don't want to see my crew Top Dog Nation. I don't know who that is, Broken, but sure. And Six said, if they revamp the Four Horsemen, they better represent and show out hard, man. Those are some big shoes to fill. Yeah, I don't know how you stunt like that, man. At least in today's world. Why would Cody want to join Spears after he cracked his head open? I personally don't want another Horseman-esque group. And Rob, I could be completely wrong and I'm reading too much into this. I just keep wondering why people are throwing up the four fingers. And I'm trying to do the little bend like Iron always has in it. But when you throw up the four fingers, it means something usually. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's kind of a wait and see. The glove going on Spears' hand reminds me of Barry Windham. Like I said, maybe I'm just being nostalgic in all of this. Let's see here. Conrad, did you hear that AEW is signing a former ECW manager? And you won't believe it. I have not heard that, Elijah Washington. You may have to fill me in on that. But let's talk about this tag team match real quick. So, great double team maneuvers. And here's the thing that I love with FTR. FTR knows how to tease a tag match. Like, I think they have the chemistry down for, okay, this is what the tag match is for a television match, a pay-per-view, a big blow-off to a feud. Give us the time, and we can do something with this. They had lots of time in this match. Kazarian and Daniels did not look bad at all. I actually kind of wanted to see them rematch these guys again after watching this. They went through so many things. Double team maneuvers. You saw the Power and Glory, the Powerplex, where it's the superplex into the splash. They busted out a lot of classic tag team moves. And I must say that I was very impressed with FTR using the old Midnight Express finish with the holding the guy. And then we saw the Alabama Jam, as Bobby Eaton would call it, off of the top rope, leg drop onto him. But it was only for a near fall in this. And they go back and forth, back and forth. The match ends with a blind tag from FTR. Classic heel work here. The blind tag, nobody sees it. Off the ropes, they turn around right into what was known as the Shatter Machine, now known as the Goodnight Express. I think that's tribute to the Midnight Express. And they get the 1-2-3. No shame in SCU's game, though. Daniels takes the loss here for the team. And I couldn't be mad. Now, FTR's been coming out in this, I keep calling it the Mr. Miyagi truck. It's an old school truck. These guys always come out of it. They drive up, walk on out. And after the match, you hear the car revving up. So somebody's in it. And it's the Butcher and the Blade. They are in the car. Shout out to Buffalo. And they're in the car. And they actually cut a promo. And I thought that the Blade did very well on the microphone here. He's talking. And he says that, hey, we want a match with you guys because they're tired of getting beat up by them. So they're getting ready to challenge them. During all of this time on the promo, we turn around, and when the camera pans back, we see a tag team that we have not seen together for a few weeks. The Lucha Bros are standing behind FTR. They said they challenged them to an 8-man tag match at Fyter Fest. It'll be the Young Bucks and FTR versus the Butcher and Blade and the Lucha Bros. Ooh-wee, that's going to be a great one. And I'm glad to see Butcher and Blade get that spot as well. I know that we would go back and forth talking about this. I know Casey's not in the chat tonight. He had messaged me that he wouldn't be here. But when he goes back and listens to this, hopefully he does. I think that it's really cool that Butcher and Blade are getting this opportunity to be in there with, I would say, three of the top tag teams. So this is a big step up for Butcher and Blade. And they're wearing like these new like white clothes that they come out in. And I think it's a good look for them because it allows them to talk more. It's less of a dark character. And the group is more so doing this, I think, to stand out so that they could talk, do promos, and just be a little bit different than they were as the dark characters when they were coming out. I'm a fan. I like it. Let's see here. Elijah Washington says, we don't need another Four Horsemen. Laugh out loud, just get a new name, Stable. Yeah, I brought that up before. WWE owns the name Four Horsemen, I believe, so I think they're going to have to come up with a new name. Rob said, if it ain't Joel Gertner, well, if it isn't I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner. Or the Sinister Minister. I always did like Sinister Minister. He said, I don't want it. FTR is still undefeated, Ace says. Hell of a match. Yes. And I love the fact that they brought up the Zero Fear, Rob. I saw that you wrote it in there. That they brought up Zero Fear, and then when they turned around, the Lucha Bros were there. Really good, man. The Young Bucks come out and make the save when FTR are getting jumped by both the teams. I like it. We're going to get an 8-man tag. This build-up to All Out is going to be great. I'm kind of excited for All Out. I know we're getting the Young Bucks versus FTR. Gotta happen there, and I think that's gonna be the perfect spot to do this show. Six says, you guys think they ditched the bunny? Maybe she's training for a solo women's competition. Sorry, I had to grab a drink. Six, I think you're half correct. I don't think they ditched the bunny. I think the bunny is setting up the Natural Nightmares for a beatdown from the Butcher and Blade. I think that she's luring in QT Marshall, and once he's in too deep, they got him. And also, as far as solo competition, I think so. Allie has wrestled everywhere else they've been, so yeah, let him go. B-Boy Skyline said, Bucks versus FTR main event, quite possibly. That may be one of the matches I'm most looking forward to. We'll have to see how All Out comes together. But we got Fyter Fest to talk about before that. And after this, we stick with the tag team action. Jim Ross kind of cuts over, and they do like this miniature like video package of people talking. It gets silly, but it gets serious and respectful and at parts. It was kind of cool. Like, it was a mixture of everything. So we get JR. They're talking about the best friends and how they've never been tag team champions. So they never won the Ring of Honor tag titles, the IWGP tag titles. They just say, like, we've never been the best, but they've been on fire, as JR said, in AEW. They've been beating all the teams. They kind of go through all the highlights, and I'm like, yeah, they did beat a lot of people. And Chucky T, Trent feel like they're ready to become tag team champions. But we have Kenny Omega and Hangman Page kind of going through their things as well. But they say, we're the two best wrestlers in this company. That's why we're the tag team champions right now. And nobody is beating us and nobody is stopping us. There's a story to be told here. Are the best friends going to be the team to defeat Omega and Page? I thought it was really good what they ended up doing here. Just way to deliver. Best friends really harp on the differences between Omega and Page. Like, one guy drinks milk, the other guy drinks Jack Daniels. I think they said JD. I don't know if they're allowed to say that, but could be good here. Let's see. I'm not reading anything that says my name is Uncle Ruckus PR. Chucky T has a very punchable face. Rob says, oh, don't be mean to Chucky T. Jesus says they are the two best wrestlers. Okay. So he's co-signing that one. All right. And yeah, this is going to be a swell tag match, if I could say that. It's going to really have a lot of things for people to consider. I think they're going to do some great teases in here. I don't know who's going to win this. We'll talk about that in a second. We get another matchup here with Brian Cage versus John Cruz. You know what happens in this. John Cruz gets destroyed like it was his job. He is jacked up, finished by Brian Cage. Taz gets on the microphone, and Taz's promo was good here. I like the fact that if I don't know if I brought this up earlier, but QT Marshall and John Moxley weren't there, similar to reasons to Derek. They had basically brought up the fact that these guys were exposed possibly to the virus from the pandemic. They didn't want to take the risk of infecting anybody, showing that they have precaution, whatever. They were praised for it by a lot of fans and Tony Khan. I understand that. But Taz gets on the microphone and says, you're not here tonight because of some BS excuse. He let out the real words, though. And I thought Taz's intensity here was great. I know Rob is not a fan of Taz on commentary, but I thought this was the right move. I thought that he did a really good job cutting the promo. And I like Taz when he gets to get on the microphone, be serious, and be the hype man for Brian Cage. It worked so well. And he said, you're just afraid to face the man who put you through an automobile. And I'm looking forward to this Cage-Moxley match, too. I just want to see how these two match up. I think they've done great work so far. I've enjoyed this build. I want to see this matchup. Let me see here. 6-8, give Chuck Taylor a championship run, man. Dude has helped train a lot of great wrestlers, including AJ Lee, Ricochet, and he has a dope finisher. The Awful Waffle, baby. You know how it goes, Sick. Yeah. Boy, oh boy, I tell you. Taz's promo, good work. I can't wait to see Moxley Cage for the AEW title. Remember, Cage earned that match at Double or Nothing. He won that ladder match. This is him cashing in on that chip. So, really good. Next, another miniature promo backstage. Mr. Brody Lee and Colt Cabana are in some weird-looking area, and they're just talking with each other. And Mr. Brody Lee challenges SCU at Fyter Fest to a match. He said that they were the first ones not to believe it. He's going to, he said, now you see me, and now I've made believers out of you. But it sounds like he wants to punish them again. And it seems like Colt Cabana is still not all the way in yet. But if he gets another win, will he be in with this? So we're going to have to wait and see what Colt, or is it Cult, Cabana does after this. Let me see. Rob says, Taz promos are fine. I like Taz. His commentary is unlistenable, too, though. Unlistenable, though. PR says he's better than Coach. Poor Coach. Jonathan Coachman. All that abuse he took for years from The Rock. So let's talk about Fyter Fest real quick. AEW Fyter Fest. Here's the matchup that we've got. So next week will be night one. So these are the matches we're getting next week. We've got the Jurassic Express versus MJF and Wardlow. It'll be Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus representing the team versus Wardlow and MJF. Okay, I'm down with that. We also will have Private Party with Matt Hardy taking on Santana and Ortiz. Okay. I think that's going to be another fire match. Those are House of Glory tag teams. We have the AEW Women's Championship on the line as Hikaru Shida gets ready to defend against Penelope Ford. I'm sure Kip Sabian will be around somewhere for that. We will also have for the TNT Championship, Cody defending his title against Jake Hager. I'm sure the coach will be in Cody's corner helping him to show him how this could all play out. Tag title match, Kenny Omega and Adam Hangman Page versus the Best Friends. I feel like this should main event the show, if you're asking me. This tag match has a lot of big implications behind it. And I really think that we're going to see where the story's going with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. They've been teasing something for a while with this. Is Hangman really down with this? They kind of veered off and quieted it down. And let's see if it picks up here. Some people think Best Friends are becoming the tag team champs. Some people don't. Night two, we have Lance Archer versus Joey Janela. Okay, so that's a little match building up from the beef from earlier tonight. We also have Nyla Rose in action. They tease some big announcement from Nyla Rose. Curious to see what that's going to be. We have SCU versus Brody Lee, Colt Cabana, who is not officially with the Dark Order yet, and Stu Grayson. Don't know where Evil Uno is, but SCU will be a trio, so it will be Daniels, Kaz, and Sky taking on Brody, Colt, and Stu Grayson. Does Colt finally join? I know some of you guys seem to have mixed feelings on if Colt Cabana is going to join the Dark Order. We'll have to wait and see on night two. We will also have Orange Cassidy versus Chris Jericho. I feel like this has to be the main event of night two. And we'll talk about them a little bit more in the main event segment. But Orange Cassidy, Chris Jericho, I'm looking forward to that matchup. And you know why if you've seen Orange Cassidy versus Pac. This dude is really good, and I want to see what him and Jericho could do together. And we also have the Young Bucks and FTR versus the Butcher and the Blade and the Lucha Bros in an 8-man tag match. It's going to be great. And, oh, excuse me, no, that's not going to main event night two. How dare I say that before with Orange Cassidy and Jericho? It's going to be John Moxley versus Brian Cage for the AEW World Championship. Taz in Cage's corner. This is going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight between these two. I want to see the match. So afterwards, Tony gets a message from Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, saying, "Too big swole." And she basically calls her trash for putting her in the dumpster. And here comes Big Swole afterwards. Britt Baker does the heel thing to do. "Oh, I'm in plexiglass. You can't touch me." She even gives like the little cheers right up to her. You know, taps the glass against the plexiglass. And Big Swole runs around and they think that she had left. But Big Swole actually grabs a garbage can and dumps trash all inside of her drink everywhere. You can hear Britt Baker screaming. Great heel work by Britt Baker. She is being way more character-driven is what I should say. Way more character-driven, and the focus has been put on to just her character. And I think it's gotten people to gravitate towards her and accept, hey, this is the heel that she's going to be. I think she's in a better position than when AEW first started. So kudos to Britt. And I think Big Swole could be one of those people who fill that void with the injuries in the women's division right now. Let Big Swole rock, man. I think if you give her more time in the ring, Big Swole will deliver. So I'm happy to see both these ladies getting a push. I predict they will have a match at All Out eventually. Next, we have the main event match. It is time for Santana with Ortiz taking on Matt Hardy with Neo One in the corner. I know some people were wondering what's the name of the new drone. It's Neo One. Santana, so good in this match, dude. He filled in for Sammy Guevara. I'm not even speaking about that right now. I thought Santana did the damn thing in this. He showed up. He was really good. And I think that he really, really showed that he could potentially have a singles career on his hand, too, in this match. Matt Hardy looked good. I just can't believe how much potential was wasted with him. That was the only thing I could think about in this match. Like, other companies had this guy, and they weren't using him as frequently. I get it's not the Matt Hardy from 2003, but the dude's still good. And he went in there and put on a good match, and I really liked the back and forth between the two teams. Santana stood out to me once again, impressed me, and as soon as you thought that this match was over, Matt Hardy gets rolled up, but then he reverses the roll up and catches Santana sleeping. Looks like an upset victory, but Matt Hardy gets the win. Afterwards, you know your boy Ortiz, you know he had to come up there. I just did the cat claws for those listening on audio. He had to come up there with the slapjack, basically beat down Matt Hardy. This leads to a bad beatdown. They end up hitting the street sweeper on him. And then here comes Private Party. Private Party shows up late, and they use the whole, the locker rooms are way in the back. This still does not show why Cody couldn't came out to help Brandy. They were better off not having them run all the way out here like that. But they eventually made it to the ringside area, protected Matt Hardy. And that was it, man. Private Party gets ready to basically hype up their match on night one with Santana and Ortiz. PNP versus Private Party. It's going to be a banger of a match. Trust me when I tell you this. Hold on, I'm reading some comments here. Jesus said that this was great, and he's talking about the Big Swole and Britt Baker gimmick. And Jesus is also a big fan of PNP, man. He's talking about Santana and Ortiz. I'm a big fan of theirs, too. I think they'll be AEW tag champs eventually. Let's see here. Six, I believe Impact was the best wrestling company to ever utilize Matt Hardy, even better than WWE. Yeah, he had the most success there. Not going to argue that with you. We'll have to see what happens in this run. But I think with Matt's abilities at that time, like, and when he figured out what to do with that character, the broken character and the broken brilliance, can't be mad. B-Boy Skyline said it's going to be Fire Ant versus Negan. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And that brings us to the main event segment. We had a face-off between Le Champion, Chris Jericho, and Orange Cassidy. Now, Chris Jericho gets out there, and he's like, why did the chicken cross the road? And he kept repeating it, and I thought, I was like, did he forget what he wanted to say? But he was kind of saying, like, once you've heard it once, it's kind of amusing, right? And then you hear it over and over again, and then it becomes annoying. He said, that's what I think of you, Orange Cassidy. And they get into this whole beef thing, and he said, look, when we fight each other, if you try to do any of that kick in my shin stuff, he's like, I'm going to beat you in 30 seconds, so don't mess with me, Junior, whatever he said. This eventually leads to Jericho getting on the fans, and he said, when I asked why did they sign Orange Cassidy to AEW when the company was first started, they all said the same thing, the Bucks, Cody, Tony Khan, he goes through the whole list of people, Kenny Omega, Brandy. The fans love him, and Jericho seems like he despises that. And he said, yeah, you know what? They've got a lot in common. They're lazy. They're slackers. And I kind of had to do some self-reflection after he said all this. I'm like, am I lazy? Yeah, sometimes. Am I a slacker? Yeah, sometimes. But Orange Cassidy then eventually does the exact thing that Jericho told him not to do after Jericho breaks his glasses. He starts doing the kicks to the shin, puts his hands in his pockets, and this leads to a fight. After he breaks the glasses, there was a leg sweep, and Orange Cassidy starts fighting Jericho. So this has become kind of personal. So it seems like Orange Cassidy is taking this a little bit more seriously. And they eventually get into this big fight. They're brawling. They're fighting on the outside. They're getting thrown into the post at the stadium. It's a fight. And eventually, Orange Cassidy's ears bleeding. I thought you got a really cool visual from that, actually, with the blood trickling down. And he's fighting Jericho, and they make their way up to a area like where you can go up top. And when Jericho thinks that he's got Orange Cassidy, he drops him down across the guardrail. And as he's sitting there, he slowly walks up, like, real slow, and I'm like, what are they going to do? There's only 60 seconds left in this. He runs down all of the stairs in the arena, and Superman punches Jericho through a table, a miniature TV, like, probably the size of the laptop behind me here, the computer screen, lands on Jericho's chest. Great visual. I think the table broke perfectly. You had the TV fall on him. And then Orange Cassidy's ear is bleeding, which goes back to the blood pulp or blood orange, whatever you want to call it. Blaze Pizza, blood orange lemonade. Go get some. He's bleeding, and then you're just like, man, great visual. And then he gives the thumbs up as the show's going off the air. This could be the biggest match in Orange Cassidy's career. Think about that. Wild, man. I'm happy for the dude. I thought this was a great way to end the show tonight. Left you with a feel-good moment, and I'm hyped for Fyter Fest. And I want to hear what you guys think of Fyter Fest. So I'm going to get ready to read through. So tonight's show, was it a W? I'm going to give it a thumbs up, but I want to hear what the chat thought of the show. And let me know what night you're looking most forward to. Are you looking forward to night one or night two more with AEW Fyter Fest? And what match has your curiosity the most out of both nights? Let's see here. Broken says LAX over PMP. I would say yes for right now, but I never liked them as LAX because for me, LAX was a different group. It wasn't Santana and Ortiz, so it always felt weird, man. It's that other guy's name I can't say because of the YouTube sponsorship and Hernandez. It's those two. I don't know. It never felt like they belonged to be LAX. I know that they eventually did beat that team, but and they did a great job with the name too. Like, don't get me wrong, but it just never felt like it was their team. Jesus said, same, hopefully this year they win it. They could win it this year. Rob said, I want Big Money Matt to make an appearance and bring Rebby's fine ass in too. I like Big Money Matt. I think that's one of his more underrated characters. I like Big Money Matt, and one of my favorite ones is Version 1. Always enjoy Matt Hardy coming out with that. B-Boy Skyline said Blood Rage Mode. Jesus said 7 out of 10, better than last week. I agree, Jesus. I think it was a better show than last week. And he said he's looking forward to Night 1 probably. Thumbs up. Night one seems to have the better card overall to me. Let's see here. 6 said, I don't know what's on the card, but if Lucha Bros are on the card, I'm for that night, which is night 2 for 6. So we got 1-1 for that. You think Cody's match is the main event? I think the tag title match at main event, personally, on night 1. Night 2 is obviously going to be the AEW championship. But if it wasn't that, I would say definitely Orange Cassidy and Jericho. Broken said night 2 for him. Rob says, did you notice during the stadium stampede, Santana and Ortiz wore 51 and 50? Yes, that was LAX's signature. Very nice. Rob said, thumbs up, decent show. I agree with that. I agree. I don't think I'm going to do a rundown of this because it's not a pay-per-view, so I don't think we're going to do a full preview. That may be what the podcast will be about next week. I'm looking to move the podcast day to. I don't like it being on that Tuesday. I don't know if I brought this up to you guys, but I don't like having it on with NWA, Dark, and I'm competing with a lot of my other fellow YouTubers, and I think we're all just taken away from each other with so many shows on that day. And it's not to say like, oh, here, everybody, you'll gain more people by me not doing it. I just think it's very crowded and it's tough to help each other out and interact when we're doing shows and we're retweeting them afterwards. Tuesday to me is a tough day to do the podcast, but I'm looking into it. And Mondays are tough, though, because I do some other things after work that I got to take care of. And I do a bunch of them on Wednesday, too, but I still find time to do this. So maybe we'll have to look and see what we could get into. So just know for a little bit that the podcast will be on different days. Just trying to do some experimental stuff. Rockstar said thumbs up show. Jesus said have it on a Thursday or Friday. Fridays are definitely no can do because of scheduling issues. Thursday, possibly we could do Thursdays. Jesus, I need you to be there then every week, brother. No Charlotte until January 2021. Yeah, I saw that Charlotte is going out for some surgery. Hopefully she's all right. Don't want to see anybody injured. Hopefully she gets well and can get back to doing what she loves. We'll just leave it at that as far as Charlotte goes. But next week, guys, you know what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking AEW Fyter Fest. This is where you're going to want to be as soon as the show ends. We are going to be live on YouTube talking, getting your thoughts, because this is a show by the fans, for the fans. So we want your thoughts on what you thought of Night One next week. Can't wait to see what you guys bring to the table and what we get to see on the show. So for that being said, this is Conrad Cushman. Thank you to everybody who joined me, took a look at this. I appreciate it. Check out some of the links down below. Make sure that you guys could check out the t-shirt stores. We got two of them up. See some of the designs. Get one for yourself, man. That's a great way to support the podcast. Also, like I said, subscribe to the YouTube channel and any audio platforms that you can. Support everything pro wrestling. Invite friends to the Facebook group. We appreciate you guys each and every week. And thank you guys for having my back. And I'll be back next week with a review of AEW Fyter Fest Night 1. Peace. Everyday pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinions, the lesson, yes. By the fans, for the fans, Not many in this can understand, This the podcast to show you who I am, Conrad Cushman, the legend in the plans, Please listen every day to the showcase. The opinions and knowledge that anyone can take. Showing you how it is done. Proving I am number one. What a legend becomes. This is now my time to show you that I am here. This podcast just to make it loud and clear. By the fans, for the fans, Not many whose head can understand. Everything pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast here for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinion and the lesson, yes. Everyday pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinions, the lesson, yes.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Everything Pro Wrestling, it's your boys from the Everything College Basketball Podcast and Facebook group. I'm Josh Burton, letting you all know that if you like the college game, that there's only one spot to come find all you need to know.
Yep, Josh, Peyton, and myself, Tyler, we are the three voices of ECB podcast and Facebook group. Peyton, tell them where they can find us and listen to us at.
Well, Tyler, you can find us on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and all other podcast hosting sites. Also, go join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups like Everything College Basketball.
So if you want everything you need to know about the collegiate game or have a passion for it, there's only one spot that you need to check out on a weekly basis or a daily basis with the Facebook group. That's Everything College Basketball. Now let's get back to Conrad informing you on everything pro wrestling and the workings around it.
Brother.